Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday School, July 4th, 2010.
Turn in your Bibles to the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and we will wind up this study of the Matthew's Gospel. Let's read the chapter through first. In the end of the Sabbath, as he began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him and came, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. All that we have read before in Matthew was in the old dispensation of the law. And Jesus' message to them was the fulfillment of the hope of the law. He was that coming one spoken of by Moses in Deuteronomy, that one that should come from among their own brethren, like unto them in every way, and fulfill all of the word of God. So all of the 27 chapters before were under the law. The gospel of the kingdom that was preached was not the gospel of the church. It was not the gospel that we proclaim. It was the gospel that the kingdom of heaven is near. But Matthew records how, though the people accepted Jesus gladly and would by force have made him king, the rulers of Israel, the priests and the political and other religious rulers rejected and despised him and plotted his demise, because the reason is there was no room in the kingdom of heaven for them, not in their capacity in which they were, unrepentant toward God and toward Him. And so just before His crucifixion, on that sermon He gave on the Mount of Olives, He announced no longer was the kingdom of heaven near. Now it was removed afar off, and there would be many different events during this age, wars and rumors of wars and persecution and dissension, and it would be a long time. The interim between the offer of the kingdom of heaven to Israel and the rejection and His coming in great glory as the King, not only of Israel but of the world, there would be a long period. Jesus indicated in Matthew 24 and 25. In that long period is the church and the gospel which we preach, the gospel of salvation in the name of Jesus. So there is a great divide between chapter 27 and chapter 28 of Matthew. The old dispensation was closed with the rejection of Jesus and with His death. And in chapter 28, a new day dawns. A new day of the gospel of faith in Jesus, the gospel of the church, and the church that He would build upon the foundation of Peter's confession that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this new day is the day in which we live. It is still during that long period that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24, the long time before He would return. But as we can see after these 20 centuries, we can see signs that the times of the Gentiles of which Jesus spoke are coming to a close. And we see, we who live in this latter day, in the time when we can see things heading up toward John's vision in Revelation, in Matthew 28, we see the beginning of this age of the gospel of the grace of God. In the beginning of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Mark informs us that there were three women in Mark 16, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, that would be Jesus' aunt, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. So these women came very early in the morning. You remember that Mary of Bethany had anointed Jesus with precious ointment at that dinner in Bethany, and the disciples and other guests were critical, and Jesus says, "She has anointed me unto my death." That was the only anointing for death that there was, because these women brought these sweet spices for to anoint the body and to prepare it properly for burial, because there was not time to do this on the day of his crucifixion. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I like that phrase, and sat upon it. That means that he was in charge of things. And he had done his work, and he was sitting there in charge of everything that goes on. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiments white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. They weren't dead. Whether they actually saw him or whether they were unconscious, the gospel doesn't tell us. But they were there, and they witnessed a good deal, as we shall see later in this chapter. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with great fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. So this is the first encounter that Matthew records of Jesus rising from the dead. But remember, notice what the angel said. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Behold, he goeth before you in Galilee." Jesus had told them that he would rise from the dead, and yet they were surprised. It didn't seem to register with them. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell him, his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail!" And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Notice he called his disciples here brethren. They were not of Mary and Joseph's household, but he called them brethren in the New Testament sense of the word, not as just fellow Jews. "And there they shall see me." Now, Jesus had promised that the disciples this in chapter 26 and verse 32 of this same Gospel of Matthew. We read, "Then said Jesus unto all, ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." So he made an appointment with them that after he was risen, he would meet them in Galilee, not in Judea. And then the angel confirms the appointment unto them, and saith to his disciples, "He is risen, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee." So then we read how Jesus kept this appointment. "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and showed unto the chief priest all things that were done. So they must, though they were shaken, and though they were as dead, they must have beheld, must have been conscious to know all the things that were done. So these were the first witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. The very soldiers whom the priest sent to guard the tomb and to seal it, they, not believers, but these unbelievers, as they seem to have been, were the first witnesses of the resurrection from the dead. And I wonder, I'm sure we all of us wonder about many things that the Bible doesn't tell us. I wonder if any of them later became believers. But we'll have to wait to find that out. There are some things that the Bible doesn't tell us that we would very much like to know, and to speculate about them would only lead into error. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, and saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." Now, this is one of the most preposterous lies that were ever told. And it persists unto this very day. The Jewish people still say this, many of them do. But consider, these disciples, as Jesus had predicted, and as Zechariah had predicted, were scattered and shaken by the whole matter. Jesus quoted from Zechariah. Jesus said, "All you shall be offended of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." That was the work of God, to scatter the disciples at the time of the crucifixion. We do see that John was there. He was the only one. But that was because, in order to be our sacrifice acceptable unto God, he had to suffer and bear the cross alone. No one could participate with him in this matter. So the tale that was told from about the 3rd or 4th century unto this very day about Mary being a co-redemptrix with Christ is blasphemy. For even his closest disciples, much less his mother, could not be there to participate with him in this time of agony and sacrifice on our behalf. So this lie is told even to this day, not only by Jews, but by liberal Christians, so-called, and by unchristian philosophers, but they don't even consider the facts, they who are supposed to be so objective. These disciples who scattered like rabbits would come to oppose an armed guard at the tomb. Not only that, but the tomb was sealed by the authority of Rome. So they told the soldiers, "If this, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept." That was a capital crime. to be asleep on a watch. These were military people. They knew the rules of law, of war, I mean, and they knew their responsibility. So to say that they stole him while they slept was against themselves and their own reputation. But they were told, if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So the disciples were not there. The soldiers were on guard, and they slept. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and to keep the appointment that he had made with them, and that the angel had confirmed. So he started his ministry in Galilee when he very early in the ministry gave that well-known Sermon on the Mount. And now he triumphantly ends his ministry and enters into a new ministry on a mountain in that same Galilee. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And how very different is that, what is called the Great Commission, from what we read in Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, we read, afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel unto every creature. Not unto nations, but unto individuals, to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And so very different are the endings of these two reports of Jesus' last days when he met his disciples. In Matthew's report, he says, go teach all nations. In Luke, it's to every creature. In Matthew, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. In Matthew, it's he that believeth shall and is baptized shall be saved. And it is interesting to note that never in the book of Acts was anyone baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Five different instances of baptisms are described in the book of Acts, and in each time they were baptized into the name of Jesus, not in the Trinity. And this I've been reading in Eusebius' history of the church. He lived in the early 300s, and he records every time that they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And so we see in Mark the order for this gospel age, that the gospel is preached unto every creature, that is, to individuals. Individuals become saved. We preach to individuals, and it is from person to person that is the most effective way of spreading the gospel. That's the way it had been spread for the last 2,000 years. Matthew, who proclaimed the coming of the King of Israel and who described his life and rejection, how he fulfilled everything that the prophet spoke of him who was to come, showed them that because of the rejection of Christ, the kingdom of heaven had been set aside and a new order would come. He predicted here, Jesus' words predicting that when he does come, as Zechariah had said, his feet shall stand upon Mount Olivet, and every eye shall behold him, that there then the Jews will become the missionaries to the world to preach the gospel to all nations, and then they will preach, they should be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, because the Jews of that day rejected the Trinity, the doctrine of the Trinity. They still reject the doctrine of the Trinity. So in that day, they will believe the Jesus is the divine Son of God. They will believe in the Trinity, and they will emphasize it by baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But we follow the apostolic example of baptizing into the name of Jesus to acknowledge, as the Apostle Paul wrote, to acknowledge him as the head of the church, the head of our corporate existence, the one who directs the life and the history of the church, the one who is above every creature, whether it is angelic or demonic or humanity. He is the head of all things, and thus do we worship him.